Thanks everyone for taking the time to attend my session. My name is Kevin Green. I'm a Cloud and Data Center MVP. I work for a company in Dublin, Ireland called Ergo. I'm the Cloud OS practice lead there. I've written a couple of books, Mastering Windows Server 2012 R2, and also a few years ago, Mastering System Center Operations Manager 2012. If you're on Twitter, if you're tweeting the hashtags throughout the week, if we're not already connected, hit me up on Twitter at kgreenit, and you can check out my blog, kevingreenitblog.blogspot.com. So, today, space mission objectives. It would help if I did this so people can see. Back. Okay, there's the about, there's my Twitter, sorry, at kgreenit, and kevingreenitblog.blogspot.com. So, space mission objectives. Our first journey through IPAM will be a high-level overview. I'll explain what IPAM is and how you can leverage Microsoft's Windows Server 2012 R2 to deliver seamless IP address management solutions within your organization. We're going to talk about the requirements for IPAM, the components, topology options. You're going to get a little bit of an overview. It's quite easy to install and deploy. I'm going to just do a little bit of an overview of how to install and provision IPAM. We're going to talk about how to integrate that into Virtual Machine Manager. And we're also going to do some stuff on role-based access control and automation integration solutions too. So just want to set the scene. How many people in the room, firstly, have heard of IPAM, as in the Windows Server IPAM? Okay, awesome. How many people are using it at the moment? Okay, even better. Okay, cool. How many people have System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 or higher deployed in their environment? Good. Okie dokes, great. Right, so let's talk about some typical IP address management problems first. So whether you're using this to manage your own IP addresses or whether you know somebody, I think everybody would probably know of a customer or of an organization that is using Excel spreadsheets to manage their IP address lists. Not a cool way to do it. It's very cumbersome. And hopefully, I suppose, do a show of hands. Anyone using an Excel spreadsheet? Ooh, okay, cool. This is a really interesting session for you. Okay, so if you need to track which addresses are in use across multiple scopes with DHCP and DNS, you can either use your Excel spreadsheets and Control F, or maybe you can use a solution like IPAM that we're going to talk about today. If you want to easily make a change to a DHCP option, maybe you want to change like a gateway or another option, a DNS server entry in DHCP. If you've got multiple scopes, it's without using something like IPAM, it's quite a manual kind of task and a cumbersome task. And if you have ever had the need to quickly identify a free IP address and ensure it gets registered in DNS, how many people have tried this on the fly? Somebody comes to you, hey, I need an IP address for something, and you're thinking, oh, okay, is that one free? Did somebody assign it to DHCP, or did someone create an A record in DNS? You know, this type of stuff. If you had like a central solution or a central place that you could go that could show you all of the IP addresses and the references to your IP address estate in your organization, it'd be super cool. So, setting the scene there, let's have a chat about Microsoft's IPAM. So, it's an integrated suite of tools to essentially simplify network complexity. It will automatically discover your existing IP address infrastructure. It will also connect, not automatically, but we would need to do a manual connection to System Center Virtual Machine Manager, which if you do that, and if you've deployed virtual networking using VMM, you can then bubble up or surface the IP addresses in VMM into your IPAM environment and console. Can also store what Microsoft called forensic IP data for up to 3 years to support auditing. So this is quite useful. If somebody says, hey, we had a little bit of an issue there a while ago and somebody created allocated an IP address to a device and it was a duplicate address on a network, who did that? Well, you can use IPAM, there's some auditing and database storage there that you can go back and you can pull data back up to 3 years. So maybe useful if you can think of a scenario for that in your business. So a typical Windows Server IPAM, if you like, deployment would be a single IPAM server. You can see here we've got like DHCP servers reporting into it. You've got a DNS server. You can also use a network policy server. It's the Microsoft NPS or network policy server option. And you can complement it with all of your DNS and your DHCP management. And your DCs, of course, have to report into it as well. So what do we need to get started with IPAM? Firstly, it supports DHCP and DNS on Windows Server 2008 or higher. We need Active Directory. Fact. It will run on either an internal Windows internal database or also with new to Server 2012 or 2, it also runs in a SQL database. And it integrates into your existing corporate DNS and DHCP deployments. But Active Directory is required. What's not supported, legacy versions of Windows Server, as in Windows 2003, Windows 2000, Windows NT, hope nobody has that. No support for managing wins. So just to clarify, because you might see some references through the demos about wins. So it won't manage win servers. So if you have NetBIOS naming infrastructure still in place and you're still trying to manage that, you're not going to get that into IPAM. It will manage wins options like the the 0x8 option in DHCP if you want to specify that, because that's part of your scope. Standalone DNS and DHCP servers, unfortunately, at least at this point in time, are not supported. So if you have a DHCP server running on a router, or if you have maybe a Linux or a Unix DHCP server, Windows Server IPAM cannot integrate that in at the moment. And it should not be installed onto a DC or DHCP server. Okay, so if you're doing this in a lab, or if you've got like a small number of servers in your environment, if you just try and deploy the IPAM role onto your DC, then you're just going to have a whole gamut of problems. One of the main issues would be that the discovery of, or the automatic discovery of your DHCP servers will be disabled. Okay, so components and topologies. So IPAM is quite simple in how it can be delivered and how it can enhance your management. And, you know, just, I suppose, just to clarify, IPAM is available currently, Microsoft IPAM is available currently with Windows Server 2012 and Windows Server 2012 or 2. There are some significant differences between the two, but this particular slide here will talk about what's common between both IPAM offerings from Microsoft. So there's some components that make up Microsoft's IPAM offering. First one is address space management. So the ASM, or the address space management component, will allow you to organize and assign your IP addresses and monitor them as well. I'm an ops manager guy by trade nearly at this stage. I've done so many deployments with it. But if you're not using Ops Manager, or maybe if you've got segmented teams in your organization where you've got some teams that look after DHCP or DNS, you've got other teams that look after maybe Ops Manager, whatever, you can leverage a monitoring capability within IPAM to monitor and give like basic dashboards on how healthy your scopes and your zones are. So pretty useful. We'll see some of that in the demo. Next component is network discovery. So as I mentioned earlier, there's automatic discovery of DC, DHCP, and DNS servers. There is a manual option that you can choose as well, but hey, we want to make our life easy. So realistically, you want to go with the automatic. It's important also to note that there's no agent deployed. When I show you how this is installed, there's not going to be any agent deployed. You don't need to worry about change control on your DCs, adding in some additional kind of agents, or lighten that else up. It essentially pushes this out through Active Directory group policy, which goes back to why we require Active Directory as a prerequisite for Windows Server IPAM. We've also got multi-server management, or MSM. So this essentially brings you the centralized configuration. So instead of you having, you know, an MMC console for DHCP and an MMC for DNS and another one for another DHCP or so on and so forth, you basically bring them all together in the one central, nice-looking eye candy console. And then you've got the visibility and the auditing capability. So I spoke about the auditing, where you can get that forensic IP data or information back up to 3 years. And you can also use it like to provide real-time views if you wanted to maybe put it up on a screen or a dashboard for your IP address management teams. Okay, so for Windows Server 2012 or 2, and this particular these particular components are are only available in Server 2012 or 2. What we have is we have the virtualized network automation. So in here, this is where you get your VMM connectivity. It helps you to plan and design your IP your IP address infrastructures, and you can do it either through VMM or through IPAM. And you can use the network isolation, you know, all your VLAN tagging, all that. That's all part of Server 2012 or 2 IPAM. Another quick context question. The people in the room that put their hand up for having already deployed Virtual Machine Manager 2012, how many of you, if you wouldn't mind a show of hands, are actually using the virtual networking capacity? As in, I don't mean just a basic public network, like going deep into proper virtual networking. Yeah, very few, that's what I thought. Okay, so if this is an introduction to you as to firstly how to manage your existing and your more familiar IP address estates, great. Then when you start looking at introducing VMM in the context of cloud and data center management, whereby you can use your VMM console to spin up your virtual networks and manage your VLANs and your logical switches, IPAM complements that basically and surfaces all that information up for you. So, and you've got role-based access control. So this goes back to the point, if you're creating virtual networks in VMM, or even if you're creating scopes in DHCP or zones in DNS, you can configure IPAM to only allow certain users in your organization access to certain capabilities within the environment. So it's pretty easy to do as well without having to try and rack your brains with custom group policy templates and stuff like that. There's a nice handy little kind of wizard that we can work through. I have a demo towards the end of the presentation about using role-based access control in Server 2012 or 2 IPAM. Infrastructure server management. So again, this is there's more focus in the 2012 or 2 release around managing your IPAM or your IP address servers. You get more around the service monitoring, multi-entity operations, so you can kind of do multiple things at once. It's, you know, when we started writing the original Mastering Windows Server 2012 book, we started writing it nearly 2 years ago when we had Server 2012 available, and I took on the IPAM chapter as one of the options. And halfway through, we found out that Server 2012 or 2 was coming out, and by the time we'd have released, our book would have been out of date. So we said, look, back to the drawing board. How hard can it be? Let's just add in, you know, some changes here and there to the chapters that we've already taken on board. And I was quite surprised at the number of changes that I had to write back into the book for the 2012 or 2. A lot of it is aesthetic, like visual, but certainly with the virtual management, there's a hell of a lot more in there that we didn't have. So that's really cool. And then you've got scale and automation. So the scale part is is mainly around the database options. So Windows internal database is essentially, it's exactly what it says on the tin. It's an internal database. So it's not designed for large scale. So Microsoft realized, look, if we're going to have an IP address management solution that we're going to push as part of our cloud and data center offerings, we got to have one that we can scale out, that we can have on a well-known and trusted platform such as Microsoft SQL Server. So that's where essentially we've got the scalability in terms of Server 2012 or 2. And there's also some additional options around PowerShell, so new PowerShell commandlets and modules that we can leverage with this version of IPAM that can integrate into some other components. I'll talk a bit more about that later on as well. So topology deployment options is pretty straightforward. There's only three of them. It's more conceptual than anything else. Centralized is going to be your typical IP address management deployment. So you're going to have one IPAM server in a central location that basically manages everything. You can have a distributed one depending on the size of your organization or your environment, which is essentially one IPAM server deployed to each site, but there's no replication. So it's more just to ease the management. And if you have scoped teams on each remote site that manage, you know, various versions of DHCP or DNS, and you want to apply a central role-based access model on it, well, then a distributed topology deployment will be what you're looking for. And hybrid as well. So you can put a central one in your HQ, and you can also delegate out then some servers in a distributed model as well. So essentially, they're the three options. But I would say for the majority of people in the room, centralized is where you're going to be going first. So installation and provisioning. So I'm not going to go through and actually fully deploy it now because I've already got it deployed. And because it's Active Directory dependencies, it can take a little bit of time to replicate and get the data in. But I'll show you how easy it is to do. So to deploy the IPAM server feature, essentially it's just a feature within Windows Server Management or Server Manager. So literally open up Server Manager, scroll down to Features and IP Address Management. Next, next, next. And you have installed the feature. If you're PowerShell inclined, Jeff, you can use a very simple line of PowerShell. Again, it just installs the feature. It doesn't configure it, okay? But that's the first part that you need. There's also a client option for IPAM. So maybe you say, look, you know, I don't want to be logging on to my IPAM server all the time. I want to have this installed on my own device, or I want to have a central management server that people access, and I want to just install the client. So it doesn't install a database or require reference to databases. It just essentially needs the UI or the snap-in for the client. So again, that's going to be installed through Server Manager, but it's an RSAT feature, so a remote server administration tool feature. So when you install IPAM from the Server Manager role or Server Manager feature, essentially you'll have in your Server Manager dashboard, you'll have an IPAM option on the left-hand side, as you can see there. So when you click on that, you then have an option to provision the IPAM server. And it's the provisioning piece that starts off where you get the option to do a manual discovery of all your servers or to do an automatic one, which is essentially group policy and how you provision it. It's very, very intuitive, the process. It's not like click here and I don't know what happens next type of thing. It will talk you and walk you through that process in a very easy manner. There are one or two little gotchas. When you go and you do your provisioning and you say, okay, I've followed everything down to the, you know, to the letter and it all looks good, but you know, it's discovered my servers, but it's given me this error message here that basically says set manageability status blocked, okay? So to save you guys binging or Googling or doing whatever it is to try and find the answer, invoke IPAM GPO provisioning. That's not some magic that I've kind of had to find really hard, I suppose. If I actually read the manual when I was putting this into the book, if I read the original TechEd or TechNet documentation, it would tell you this. So this one of the commandlets that comes with IPAM basically means you have to invoke that GPO provisioning. So it's really just like it's like an extra step in case the feature is installed and maybe, you know, you don't want to immediately deploy the GPOs and have it kind of managing your environment. Then, you know, Microsoft had just put this extra step or extra layer of protection in where you can then say, invoke GPO provisioning, specify your servers, and off it goes. Okay, so I'm going to jump into a demo now. Is everyone okay so far where we're at? I mean, feel free to ask questions through. We'll have a Q&A later on and at the end of the session. But if there's something that you want me to deviate slightly away from throughout the demos or throughout the slides, by all means, just put your hand up and I'd be happy to answer. Yeah. Yes, sir. Can you repeat that, please? Oh, okay. So how many DHCP scopes can you manage? I don't think there's a limit. I've not come across a limit on it anyway, but I would say if there is a limit, I'd be very surprised if anyone in the room, including myself, will reach that anytime soon. Okay? Yeah, so there you go. So Jeff has just confirmed that he's got a deployment with up to 350 scopes, DHCP scopes, and no problem, okay? Because it's basically surfacing the information, and that's where Microsoft basically said, right, we want to make this a scalable offering. So let's not have this on a Windows internal database that probably sits locally on the IPAM server. Let's have an option for a remote SQL database that can then extend the data. So it's my guess that you're only going to be limited by the size of the infrastructure that you have, including the IPAM infrastructure around the database. Does that answer your question okay? Cool. Okie dokes. Let's drop into demo mode. So this is IPAM on Windows Server 2012 R2. So we can see here, if I just go back here for a second. So over here on the left, we can see our IPAM option. When I click on this, this then brings me into the IPAM menu. So this is the server option. The client is not too far off this either, but you know, it's probably best to just use the server that you're, or the IPAM server that you're on, to do your initial configuration and provisioning, just to make sure you've got all your connections right. But over here, you can see you've got the overview option, and in the middle, there's your different tasks. So if you're deploying this initially, these tasks here won't be fulfilled. We can see, you know, this was completed back in April. Essentially, the provisioning is already done. You won't have any information here at all if you've deployed it for the first time. Something that's a lot of people would miss with this is that you can use these tiles here. Actually, they're live tiles, in that you can click on them to help you out. You can get some quick access actions here. Learn more, you can get some links up onto TechNet if you need to. And the quick start, obviously, is where you're going to go for your provisioning. So these tiles here can be quite useful, particularly when you're just getting used to using and managing IP address management in Server 2012 or 2. So when we provision it, and when it goes off and discovers our server estate, we can see a server inventory. Here I've just got a couple of servers. It's just a demo environment, but we've got a couple of servers here. A couple of DCs, I can see the roles, DC, DNS, DHCP on that one, just a DC and DNS there. We can see it's unblocked and it's green, so that gotcha that I talked about earlier with the unmanaged status, this is what you want. You want to get to green so it's not blocked, and basically IPAM is allowed to go ahead and manage it. If we have a look at some of our IP address blocks and some of the information that it has already discovered, around the DNS and the DHCP environment, we can see here that we've got some IP address ranges. And this is the monitoring piece where we can see red is over. I've just specified here a static over range, but I mean, it's dynamic in terms of if you have a DHCP scope that hands out, 100 addresses or 200 addresses, and if that scope is reaching utilization, you'd see it here. I would always recommend use Ops Manager and the DHCP Management Pack to get that information back. But if you want to use IPAM, by all means, this is where you're going to get it as well. From here, we can click around, just showing you some of the information in the inventory. We can click around and we can have a look at maybe some of our IP subnets that are in the environment here. We can see the percentage utilized, total number of addresses. We can get some information around utilization trends down here. So these are shortcuts, or we can select a date. I can go 1D for 1 day. I can go 7 days. Let's have a look at one that's not utilized fully. Here we can see our utilization trend over the last 7 days has been pretty good. You know, but this is, or 3 months, or whatever way you want. This is somewhere that you can look at trends in your environment. If you find that, you know what, our scopes keep filling up. Is somebody coming along and deploying a load of dev machines that are DHCP enabled, and they're coming in taken from our production scope? Obviously, there would be a design issue within your environment if that was happening on a regular basis, but at least you can see it from here. You can get a trend on it. Or maybe you want to scope out down the road. You might want to say, this DHCP scope, this is for our guest Wi-Fi that we hand out. Maybe we've got guests coming into the office on a regular basis. How often is that maxing out for us? Anyone that's been to some of the big Microsoft conferences over the last few years might know that the Wi-Fi doesn't always be the most dependable. And most of the time, the reason for that is the DHCP scopes just max out, because geeks that we are, we've all got 3 or 4 devices on us that require a DHCP address, right? We got phones, tablets, laptops, whatever. So this will give a trend over a given period of time as to how utilized that DHCP or that particular DHCP scope would be. If we just talk about managing and monitoring the DNS and DHCP for the moment, if we drop down here to monitor and manage, we can see that you can select by server type. So in this case here, it's pretty easy to see. We've only got three servers or 3 offerings. If we're talking about an example like Jeff's, where you've got 300 plus or 350 plus servers, then if you're looking for a specific type of group, like if you're looking for DNS servers, you can just drop here and say, just show me all the DNS servers, or just show me only DHCP servers. Hey, let's filter, so put in DHCP 1 or whatever the name of the server is, and it'll go off and it'll figure out, or show it to you rather. You can put in your own custom filters or queries here. So, you know, even just from a what servers have I got in my environment that maybe I don't know about kind of perspective, this is really, really useful. Also, you can see at a quick glance, you can see the number of scopes on each server here. If I just drop back to the full, you can see obviously their IP addresses, domains, all the different options in here. DNS zones. Very quickly, we can see some DNS zones at a very high level. So this is pretty useful. If we just drop down a little bit more, we want to have a look at specific scopes. So let's say we want to manage a scope, right? So here's just a demo one that I just dropped up here, right? So if I want to manage this, and again, imagine that you've got hundreds of, well, maybe not hundreds, but you've got a large number of scopes in here. If you want to just manage it or you want to delegate access out to manage it, you right mouse click, and you've got all these pretty cool options here. Okay, so you can edit the DHCP scope. So anyone that's familiar with just using the normal DHCP MMC snap-in, you're going to have the same options here. You got scope name, description, start, end IP address, limited to days, your exclusion ranges, your DNS updates. Again, pretty much everything in one nice central location. Your DHCP scope options. So you can come in here and you can say, you know, hey, there's the standard options. Then give me, you know, the router option, pop in the router name or the server name, whatever way you want, add them in, add configuration, and off you go. From an advanced perspective, you can use, if anyone's still using BootP as well as DHCP, you can select that or you can select both. And again, you can change your lease duration for the BootP clients from here. And of course, you just get a quick summary of all your changes in this particular window here. So from a centralized management perspective around DHCP and DHCP scopes, that's pretty cool. If we right click on it again, we could duplicate the same scope. We could just go quick fire in and create a DHCP reservation straight away. So this might be quite useful again, instead of you trying to figure out which site the DHCP server is on, that somebody is just deploying a new printer or a new router or a new access point, and you want to allocate a specific IP address to a MAC address, you can do that from here very, very easily. Just one, well, a couple of clicks of a button anyway, and you're in there. You can add DHCP or add it to a DHCP super scope. You can even configure DHCP failover here. How many people have deployed DHCP failover in their environment? It's pretty useful, isn't it? Yeah, so you can do that direct from the IPAM console. I'm not going to run through it now, but I'll show you the wizard. So in here, you can like create a new relationship. You can use an existing relationship. Choose your partner server. So obviously, you know, you got to have your environment ready with multiple DHCP servers. You can then choose the partner server here. All of your normal settings and configurations that you would get doing through the normal DHCP failover scoped wizard. Your lead times, all that pretty cool stuff. And you can then say, you know, even in here, use it as a load balanced DHCP server in a larger scope, or have it as a hot standby. So, you know, DHCP failover, great feature that Microsoft released in Server 2012, and definitely something that Microsoft are aware of that you need to manage through IPAM as well. Other options here, we have activate or deactivate your scopes. Again, this one here is inactive. I could activate it if I wish. And I'll come through some of the rest of them later on, but it's really, really granular in terms of what you can do. And again, you can do it across multiple scopes, all from the one console. If we look at the DNS, pretty similar. So in the DNS, we see here we've got, in my test, we've only got a couple of basic zones, or well, three zones. We can see this one here is okay. These guys here have warnings. And from there, we can just reset zone status. We can do role-based access control on it. Again, you know, pretty much centralized. And the more zones you have, the more input and the more of a view that you have on this environment across your whole estate. So that's pretty handy. Okay, drop back to this now. Okay, so VMM integration, which I'm guessing a lot of people are interested in, and it's certainly why we chose to add this as a particular session to System Center Universe, because, you know, hey, if we're talking about virtual networking using VMM, we have to have some form of centralized management engine or capability there, and this is where we can start leveraging Microsoft's IPAM offering. So again, I'm not going to go through the full connectivity process on VMM, but it's a very simple one, and I've got some screenshots to show you what you do. So from the Fabric view in Virtual Machine Manager 2012 or 2, go add a resource, network service, and then from the network service, choose the manufacturer to be Microsoft, and then choose Microsoft Windows Server IP address management. From there, a few clicks of a mouse through a wizard, you put in the fully qualified domain name of your IPAM server, and it just connects up. I'll show you the actual connection it makes now. Let's drop back into, I'll just show you my VMM. Okay, so here's VMM. So in here, this is the connection. So my Ergo IPAM connection here. If I click on properties, I can see some basic information, credentials, connection strings. This is, you know, essentially when I went through the wizard, it was prompting me for this information. And it gives you good examples of what you need to put in there. Providers, which is the IP address management provider, and of course host groups. So you could say in your VMM environment, hey, I only want IPAM looking at or managing my standalone hosts or my dev clusters or my production clusters or everything. So you can choose in here where IP address management policies are applied to basically, and where then ultimately your role-based access control allows access into in your virtual machine manager estate. So going back into the IPAM console. So with 2012 R2, with Server 2012 R2, we have this new virtualized IP address space option. And in virtualized IP address space, if I click here, I'll just drop into IP address ranges. In here, we can see we've got a number of ranges. We've got things like provider IP address spaces. We can see managed by service. Actually, I'll show you from the address spaces here. We can set locations across our virtual networking environment, whereby we can say, hey, there's like the Dublin data center address space. Here's the subnets that are associated with that. And, you know, please bring that into IPAM for me so I can get visibility of it and ultimately so I can get centralized management of it. Again, you know, going back to easy on the eye, a nice kind of central environment. We can see here, California, healthy. The under is fine. I mean, it's just, you know, this could be a good option if you're completely underutilized. Maybe you've allocated too many IP addresses in a particular subnet. Or here over, we can see Singapore. In this case here, the data center is 98.5% nearly utilized. So that would be something then that you could action your teams to look at and see why it's so overutilized. And is there something that you need to do quickly to address that particular problem? So from here, again, we can manage this environment. We can do so much around the virtual network. And so hang on a sec, just change these views here. So just zoom in here a little bit. So over here, we've got two little tabs. And this goes for not just the virtualized IP address space area, but for any of them. You've got two little tabs. You've got like your list view and you've got your tree view here. So your tree view can drop down and then show you the different groupings that are available for IPv4 or IPv6. If we just drop in here, I can then see another type of view. I'll just extend this up. No, I can't. I can see another type of view here for my different data centers. Let's pick the Basel one. This is just a demo test. So in here, I can see I've got a subnet of 10.100.0.0.16 and all these addresses, how utilized, over or under utilized it is. I can see the VMM logical network that it's connected to or that it's assigned to. And also, I can see the network site. If I want to manage that subnet, I can right mouse click, edit IP address subnet in here. You can change things like your network ID, your prefix link or prefix length, VLAN ID. So, you know, if you wanted to change the VLAN, you could make a change there or add a VLAN. You can specify in here whether this particular IP address subnet has network virtualization enabled. If it does, then you can select the provider address space that you want to allocate to it. You can select the logical network that you want to allocate to it. And of course, you can select the network site. So it's pretty useful. You can also make some custom configuration changes. So you could also say, or have a policy internally whereby you say all of our IP address subnets that we have managed by Virtual Machine Manager have an associated custom field, whether that's for, you know, to help you with centralized searching or maybe tagging, or maybe you've got a ticketing system that you want to, you know, have leveraged these custom fields or custom configurations, then you can add them in here. You can pick things like country, region, AD site, device type, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of customization that you can do, and you can tag onto your IP address subnets inside of IPAM, that ultimately when you make the change or when you update something here, what happens is if you wait, it'll just automatically update. We could force it by saying, we could just force it here by refresh, or we could go back to VMM here, and we could essentially refresh the queue from here. And that will go off, and it will try and communicate back with IPAM. And if there's any changes, provided the right permissions and stuff have been put in place, then it will go and it will make those changes for you. And basically, you've got a seamless environment where everything is connected together. So I'll just drop back into IPAM again for a sec. So good so far? Yeah? Everyone okay with what we're going through? Yeah, no questions? Okay, cool. Again, think of this as a primer. I've set this session as a level 200 session just to get people interested in the offering. And particularly if you've deployed VMM but you've not deployed virtual networking, then I suppose initially think of IPAM as managing your existing DHCP and DNS servers, and then look to span that out to look at your VMM environment once you've got that configured the way it should be. So in here we can do, let me see, some other options. So again, if we wanted to get really funky and say, add in a new IP address subnet. So instead of going into VMM and creating the subnets or creating the address ranges or adding specific IP addresses, you can do it all from here. We could say, let me see, an IP address is, I've got, yeah. So in here, this is again just a test one I set up, but you know, we could say, right, I just want a single address in my virtual machine manager environment that's allocated. I'll get some information for that IP address here. Can see the location it's in, country, region. I can see that it's a printer. I'll just zoom in case. See it's a printer. I can see it's managed by IPAM. And I can add in, again, as I mentioned, custom fields. I can add in a lot more information if I need to. From there, you can then say, right, now, create a DHCP reservation for that inside your DHCP server. Or create a DNS host record or a reverse lookup or even delete them. So, I mean, it's tasks like that that sometimes just, you know, they're easy to do manually, but they're just time-consuming when you don't have everything centralized into the one location. So there's definitely a lot of value to be added into to managing your IP addresses from IPAM, particularly when you have VMM, DHCP, DNS, all in the same environment. Okay, just drop back here just for a sec. Okay. Role-based access control. So this again is a really neat feature of IPAM, and it's there's a number of steps. It's simple enough to do when you understand the steps. So to create role-based access or a role, if you like, you got to define a new user role, or you can use some default ones. I'll show you them in a moment. Once you've defined a new user role, then you can define an administrative boundary with access scopes. So if you think of, let's say, you've got 100 DHCP scopes or 50 DHCP scopes, whatever the number, and you say there's a new hire coming into our IT team and they're a level 2 admin and we want to give them a little bit of autonomy around managing the addresses because we don't want to be called in to, you know, create new reservations or do that type of stuff, but we don't want to give them access to, you know, activating or deactivating scopes or deleting scopes, or even maybe we don't even want them deleting IP addresses. We don't mind if they add some in, but we don't want them deleting that. So we can get really, really granular with role-based access control and IPAM, and we can say that level 2 guy or girl only has access to that scope in that data center, in that country, whatever way we want. So it's like a hierarchical kind of process. Again, access policy. So once we've got that hierarchical process in place, we then determine on what scope and what exactly they can and can't do in terms of actions. Set associate access scopes to objects in IPAM. So again, I just explained that. So we're going, there's the role, there's the scope, there's the user then, and then there's where they're actually going to be targeted at allowed access to. And new access control for leaf nodes or inherited from parents. So again, you can say global, do it from a global level. So this scope is active for everything that this user logs into, or it's active just for this DHCP site or this data center or this country or this county or whatever way you want to do it. So I'll jump in and show you. It's easier to understand when you're actually logged into it. So if we have a look over here, again, on the left-hand side, we can see we've got access control. And in here, if we just sort by built-in role, in here we've got a number of built-in roles. So it's typical of, you know, most of your standard applications that have role-based access built into them. Most of the System Center stack has it, whereby, you know, you have pre-baked roles that you can't edit, but for most people, it's probably going to be more than sufficient if you just said, look, I just want a DHCP admin role for this. You know, we'll just copy that and then just allocate that to a scope. Or I just want an IPAM administrator role because, you know, an IPAM administrator essentially has the keys to the kingdom when it comes to your IP address management infrastructure and everything that it can manage. So that's something that's, that you'd want to maybe lock down. Or, as I say, you might want to just create your own custom role. So I'll go add user role here. We call this SKU Europe. And let's say we say, okay, I want this person to only be able to configure or edit a DHCP server policy, right? And you can add in whatever else you can do on DNS, or you can say, I want them to be able to access or edit IP address ranges and whatever else. So you define the actions for the particular role here. Once you define the role, so there it is there, we can see built in, no. So once you define the role, you then go to scopes. So in scopes, you'd have all of your different access scopes in the whole IPAM configuration. So you can just create a new access scope and you can say, this is where we're talking about the hierarchy of parent object. And you can say, right, globals for everything. Or we could say beneath global, we want to go Basel, add. Beneath Basel, we want to say, you know what, data center one or whatever, add. You could, you know, drop down further if you wish. And we've basically defined then our scopes here, our access scopes, that we're then going to lose internet connectivity with. hang on 2 seconds. Pardon? If which? If the... Oh, no, this is unrelated. Sorry. No. Sorry. Good question. No. The question was, does it always reset your network card? So what I did there was, it was just coincidence that the internet for the connection I have here is just dropped briefly. I'm using direct access to connect back into our environment. So it's possibly it just dropped briefly there for a second. But no, totally. It doesn't reset network access. If it did, let's not even have this conversation. Let's not even talk about it because it has to be seamless, right? So it can't, I mean, it's very powerful. You know, if you're giving people access to manage your virtual network infrastructure, then certainly, you know, if they don't know what they're doing or if they're messing around, you know, they can certainly cause problems. But by all means, it's not going to go and, you know, hey, when you click OK or apply, it's going to reset that NIC and, you know, that VM is going to briefly lose network connectivity. No, definitely not. Okay. Unless the task you're asking it to do actually would do that if you were logged onto VMM to do it. Okay? So we've defined the access scope. Next up, we want to define an access policy. So we'll say from here, add access policy. So this is where we pick our specific user. In here, I'm going to say, right, I've got a user called Scoo user in there, and I want to allocate these to a specific access role. And you can pick either, this is what I was saying earlier, you can pick the pre-built or the out-of-the-box roles if you're happy that it's just a specific admin role that you want, or you can pick your restricted, or in this case it was Scoo Europe that we created. You can pick that particular policy that you want to apply. You can then say, I just want them to have access to this policy in this data center. So again, depending on how you want to map out your role-based access and how sensitive your IP infrastructure is to each of these different admins in your organization. So we'll add that one in there. And we'll just go OK. And we can see this user then has an access policy assigned to them. And the last thing we got to do is we just go to our scope then, and we just say, right, say this scope here, this might have a global. So essentially, it's very limited role-based access against it. So our demo one, I might want to right mouse click, set access scope, set it to Basel data center one, for example. Click OK. And essentially, if I logged off and back on with that user and tried to edit anything else in the greater IPAM infrastructure scheme of things, it won't allow it. You know, they'll have visibility of it if their permissions allow it. But when they go in and try and make a change, if it's anything other than the scoped role-based access that we've given them, it'll just drop back with an error straight away saying, sorry, you know, you don't have permission or access to do this. So really neat way of getting under the hood with your users and with role-based access control from an IP address management perspective. Everyone okay with that? Yeah? Cool. Okay, so automation and integration. So this is really where you can start thinking outside the box, if you like, with IP address management. So you can use some of the built-in PowerShell modules or PowerShell commandlets that come with IPAM to connect into Config Manager and the Microsoft Map Toolkit. Jeff, are you using any of this at the moment? The integration into Config Manager? No? Okay, cool. So no. I'm just interested because you're Mr. PowerShell, so. So basically, you could use commandlets to say, right, go off to Config Manager or go off to the Map Toolkit, take the IP inventory information from there and port it into IP or IPAM, if you know that information wasn't necessarily bubbled up in your DHCP or DNS anyway. You can also use some PowerShell scripts to, again, the PowerShell modules, there's specific scripts Microsoft have made available. Actually, I've got a reference to the link at the end of the deck here, and these decks, as you know, will be available to everybody towards the end of the day, I think. So if you get this deck, there's a link at the end that you can get access to these PowerShell commands or scripts. And from there, you can go off and do just an ICMP-based network discovery or network sweep, if you like. That'll go off and pull in every IP address that basically the IPAM server can see and bring it in, whether or not it's managed by DNS or DHCP. So loads of ways of getting automated network discovery in. And of course, if you schedule those scripts and if you have scheduling in place, then you can ensure that anytime somebody adds in an IP address, like a rogue IP address, or just puts something in without going through the normal change process, it's going to get picked up by IPAM straight away. Something else interesting around the Active Directory sites and subnets, or sites and services rather, is that if you have some custom fields in AD sites and services that IPAM doesn't know about natively or out of the box, then you remember we saw the custom fields area earlier where we went in and we said, right, custom fields, add, you know, country or whatever. Well, there's some specific custom field one, custom field two, custom field three attribute sections that you can select any of those and specify whatever custom search fields that you want to put in. So again, you can use that with the PowerShell commandlets in IPAM to integrate with your Active Directory sites and services nodes to go and pull in data that way as well. So really, really useful. And with that, we're pretty much done in terms of IP address management with Windows Server 2012 R2. Just to do a recap, it comes free as part of Server 2012 R2. It's also available in Server 2012, but as I say, you don't have the VMM integration in Server 2012. If you connect IPAM in 2012 R2 to VMM, you get management of your virtual IP address estates in a central console, and you've got your role-based access as well, where you can give granular access to and policies to users across the business. And then you can easily extend IPAM integration through PowerShell with things like Active Directory, Config Manager, and the Map Toolkit. And there's the additional resources. As I say, if you download the deck later, that top one there has the integration module script that you can play around with if you want, and you can scope it. So you can look at maybe a small subsection of your environment or subnet and go and pull in that IP address information. So listen, I'd really appreciate, you know, if people could fill out the feedback form, if there's any tips or any points that you want to make about this presentation, or, you know, how I've delivered the presentation, we'd be, you know, really happy to hear back from you. And hopefully everyone has a great conference. Any questions from anyone? Yeah, sure. So so the question was, you know, it looks really good for managing IPv4, but how good is it for managing IPv6, right? Yeah, so firstly, have you got like a total IPv6 network at the moment, or are you no? Okay, so Microsoft have certainly got IPv6 capabilities in IPAM, but it's not anywhere near as rich as IPv4 at the moment. So if you have IPv6 DNS scopes and information in your DHCP environment, you'll certainly see that inside of IPAM, but you're not going to get the granular level of depth at the moment that you would get with IPv4. I would suspect that would be the next logical step. It would make sense, but at the moment, it's nowhere near as rich. Is that okay? Anyone else? Any questions? No? Okay, well, again, thanks everybody for attending, and feel free to come over and have a chat. I'm here for the week. I'm here till Saturday. So anything that you want to talk about, feel free to come along. If you're here to look at anything around Ops Manager or DevOps, I'm doing a session tomorrow called Hybrid Cloud DevOps with APM. Hopefully that'll be a really good session. So some really cool stuff. I'm looking forward to showing people there. So come along. Hope to see you then. Thanks, everyone.